The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We're going to talk about perfectionism, though, which appears to be on the rise, particularly amongst children and adolescents. So what is it? Why can it be so harmful and how do we manage it? I'm joined on the line by Dr. Harry Barry, who's a GP and expert in mental health. Hello, Harry.
Hello, Claire. Great to be with you.
Lovely
great
to talk to you. So perfectionism, is it on the increase, firstly?
Yes, it is on the increase. Unfortunately, it's on the increase, and it's particularly on the increase amongst our children and adolescents. And I think, you know, it's very interesting. Perfectionism is a personality trait where we set these excessively high standards for ourselves. And when we can't achieve them, the real secret of perfectionism, we then regard ourselves as a failure. So it's an incredibly... I suppose, devastating condition really for our mental health well-being. And it can be described in two ways. We kind of self-orientated where we're putting the pressure on ourselves, or it can be socially prescribed where we're really allowing the outside world, particularly through social media, to put pressure on ourselves.
Okay.
But this morning we're going to really focus on the first, you know, the
self-orientated. Can I just go back though? Because you said there that it's a personality trait, which suggests to me that it's innate, that some people are just like this.
Yes, I'm often asked really, is does this come from environment? You know what I mean? Is it created by, say, a high achieving household, et cetera, et cetera? Yes, I think those factors are there and they're present. But it would be my experience over many, many years that most of the time the pressure comes from within the person themselves. So it seems to be something that that some people have from a very, very early age. And it's really important that we identify it. And we help them learn techniques to deal with it, because mm-hmm. it's really, really kind of it can really affect their whole lives. That's the message I really want to get across today.
What are the behaviours then that are associated with perfectionism when it's in a sort of a problem area?
In a problem area, we often find that the person gives up more easily a task, which is kind of quite surprising. But the big one is procrastination. The renowned procrastinators, they'll keep delaying till the very last minute because they're so afraid of failing. That's the key. And they often then will avoid taking on challenges or purposely set a lower target for themselves, again, because of fear of failure. So, you know, I think it's important that behind perfectionism is the irrational belief that I absolutely must not have any imperfections. And if I do, I'm a failure. So mm-hmm. really what the person with perfectionism is really worried about, it kind of sounds kind of strange, is they're worried about imperfections. So they become nearly obsessed with any imperfections, which we all know are inevitable in life.
So if we have a child who, say, tries to play a musical instrument and does some lessons and realises that they're not going to be in the National Concert Orchestra or playing with a band, and then gives up that pursuit because they know they're not going to be brilliant at it, is that sort of a flashing light there, a danger sign?
I think the key thing for me is the second part, that they rate themselves as a failure if they can't achieve it. You know, in other words, it's quite normal for all of us to try different things, find we're not great at them, and maybe decide to back them in. But I think the problem with the perfectionists is that they are most concerned that they will be exposed as failures. That's mm-hmm. really their real concern. And, you know, the secret to this is because it's important that many, many people with perfectionism suffer from anxiety. And they also are more likely to get depressed. They're more likely to get into other mental health difficulties. So the long-term studies are very interesting because you would expect that a perfectionist would do better in all areas of life. But the very interesting information is that they often struggle academically. They don't do as well at work. They don't have as successful relationships. And even though the employers might love to have a perfectionist on their team, in fact, the consequence to the person are actually sometimes quite extreme, particularly in the area of anxiety. So I love dealing with perfectionism because it's something that we can practically do something about. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? I this is, for me, the key. If we can identify it quickly in people and then teach them techniques, that's the whole secret to perfectionism.
So identifying it firstly is key, and then you move to the treatment. But really, I suppose, if we're talking to parents here this morning, we're saying if you think you have a perfectionist in the house, this is what you need to do. And what are the things that you can do?
Well, I think the first thing that when I get somebody with perfectionism, the first thing I'll try to get them to do is to see that is their irrational belief that they mustn't have any imperfections is to do they're a failure is really at the heart of it, and also challenge their behaviours. So if we challenge both aspects, let's take one. So I'm a great believer in, for example, trying to get across to the young person that imperfections are normal. They're part of Mother Nature even. So they're inevitable. So what I try to do is I give them perfectionist exercises. And I think these are a great crack altogether. You can have great fun with these. And that is that for a whole month, you have to change something in your appearance, something that makes you seem in your mind to be more obvious to other people. Like, for example, you might wear one earring rather than two. You might wear your hair different to the way you normally do it. You might put makeup on one side versus the other. You might wear different socks. You might wear different shoes. You know, I have great crack with this. But every solitary day for up to four weeks, I get the person to keep changing something in their appearance every day. And they have to learn to live with that during the day. And what's really interesting is that they notice that for the first hour or two, they're very, very aware of it. But after a while, it actually fades into the background. Mm-hmm. So they begin to realize that imperfections are kind of normal and that we can learn to manage them and learn to cope with them. I also teach them to purposely make mistakes in situations and learn how to manage and cope with that. I teach them, for example, I love this one where they have to, if they love their rooms tidy, for example, they have to mess up some particular room that they, maybe their bedroom that they love tidy, and they have to live with the chaos for 24 hours. It's kind of messing up their lives, showing them that that's the way life is. Life is messy and imperfect. And the second really key thing, and you know, I've often talked about this, Claire, is that the second thing is it's the merging of that if they make a mistake or if they're not perfect, that they're a failure. That's where the real problem lies. That's the heart of perfectionism. It's this internal self-rating where we're very harsh on ourselves, very, very, and we play the rating game. So if things are not going well, we think we're absolute failures. So we believe that we're useless, we're weak, we're failures, we're just not good enough. And of course, this dogs them all the way along the line, academically, in their workplace, and in relationships. Like they end up kind of believing the nonsense that they're a failure. So I actually teach them unconditional self-acceptance, where they have to do this over a period by writing it down over a period of maybe 3 months, where they challenge the belief that they themselves are a failure. So I teach them that failure is part of life. It's how we learn. It's how we cope. It's how we learn to adapt, to be adjustable. And of course, if you can detach the concept that unless I'm good at something from who I am as a person, you've immediately broken the link. And it's breaking that link. If we can do that at a young age and an early age, my goodness, we can help that person maybe go on to have, you know, a kind of a normal, healthy life instead of being dogged by this trait, which can actually cause so much difficulties and problems. Mm-hmm. I remember Claire, one particular, I was at some kind of, I was in a company, and this particular, I was doing the rating exercise where I asked people to rate themselves between 1 and 100. And I was having great crack with this particular girl who was causing me all kinds of problems. And eventually she came up to me at the very end and she slid over her rating scale and she was up at 97.
Right.
So in other words, as she said, you can see why I was struggling. Because, right, you know, her world was all about rating. So she only lived for her rating. So it was teaching her to kind of change that whole approach. And once she did that, of course, her life was going to transform.
Well, Harry, a listener would like to know whether, and we've a couple of questions coming in on this with people who feel they might have a perfectionist in the house. This one wants to know, is this similar to dealing with OCD?
No, it's not. OCD is a totally different condition. That's where we get these intrusive thoughts and compulsive actions. That's a very different condition. We might deal with that another time. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, we will. We'll cover that another time. Another listener says, I can't tell if my child is a perfectionist or if they're just really highly strung. Is there anything I can do to balance them out and help them get less stressed?
I think you can. One of the things that we can all show is a lot of parents are worried about showing up that they themselves get anxious. So I think it's really important that they, for example, show that they fail regularly and how they adjust to that and how to cope with that. So and also to admit if they get anxious themselves, to not be afraid to reveal that to the child and say, you know, I get very anxious about things and that's normal. Do you know, mm-hmm. So normalizing an awful lot of this takes away a lot of the heat out of it.
So show them that we fail and that we're still a good person after we fail.
Yes, exactly. That's the secret. That's the key.
Okay. Harry, thank you so much for being with us with that valuable advice. And we'll chat again soon. That's Dr. Harry Barry, who's a GP and mental health expert. Thank you to everybody who sent us in messages over the course of the morning. And if you missed anything, don't forget you can listen back on the Go Loud app. The team today, thank you to Hugo Da Silva on sound, producers Dee King and Alex Russo. Research was by David O'Connor, Dylan Hand and Shanna Cole. Our broadcast assistant was Anne-Marie Kane. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.